Okay, so today we begin Sefer Vayikra with the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi is the written works of Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who was known as the defendant of the Jewish people. Reb Levi Yitzchak is known as not only someone who provided deep insight into the words of Torah, but also there are many, many stories about Reb Levi Yitzchak in which he sees the best part of people. Almost to an extreme, that there are people who are sinning, who are doing terrible things, and he is able to look at them. He is always able to see the best in them. So he earned himself this reputation as the defendant of the Jewish people, one who is always able to see the best in everybody, who is able to encourage those around him in turn to be the best that they can be. The Kedushas Levi is one of the first Sifrei Chassidus that I learned. My father is a big fan of Reb Levi Yitzchak. My father, just a little bit of background. My father grew up in the shtiebel of the Bostoner Rebbe, the leader of Bostoner Chassidus in Brookline, Massachusetts. And I can't tell you how, but the Bostoner Chassidus is connected to Reb Levi Yitzchak, that every Chassidus descends from some of the few original Hasidic masters, and they somehow descend from Reb Levi Yitzchak. So I grew up with stories of Reb Levi Yitzchak. I even had like a kid's book of it. And so these are really stories that I've heard throughout my life. And then when I was old enough to begin learning his Torah, it was really, really meaningful to me and something that I have continued to learn over the years. And I always find that his insights are deeply insightful and really, really powerful. So I'm excited to explore specifically Sefer Vayikra, as we mentioned, which doesn't have the best of reputations as being the most exciting, the most insightful, and being able to learn through it with this deeply insightful text to hopefully bring an entire new light to Sefer Vayikra. So with that, we're going to get started. The Kedushas Levi writes smaller pieces typically than the Nesivos Shalom, which we started on Bereishis, writes full essays. The Sfas Emes has longer pieces of text, and the Kedushas Levi has shorter snippets. So, for example, whereas on the Nesivos Shalom, we chose one essay for a whole parsha, today we are going to learn all three pieces that the Kedushas Levi presents on Parshas Vayikra. So they're not all directly connected. They're not all, for example, commenting on the same pasuk. They do have points that unite them, but this is his commentary on the entire parsha. Okay, so with that, let us get started. The source sheet is in the chat for anyone who needs it. And let's get started. The Kedushas Levi begins with the very first words of the parsha, which most people comment on because there is an abnormality within the first word of the parsha. And that is the word Vayikra el Moshe. Hashem called to Moshe. That should be pretty typical. That happens all the time. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Vayikra al Moshe. So Hashem calls to Moshe. What is the abnormality? Is that the Aleph in the word Vayikra is small. Anytime there is any sort of font change in the Torah, whether a letter is bigger, a letter is smaller, there are dots on top of the word, or anything of that sort, it calls our attention to that word. Because the Torah does not come in multiple fonts. We cannot change the layout or the format of the Torah. That is something that is also divinely given. And therefore, if there is a change in size, it's not a printing mishap. It's something that we need to pay attention to and we need to investigate. So he begins, Vayikra Aleph Ze'ira. Vayikra has a small Aleph. Yivoar al derech shebe'arnu ve'al Moshe amar alei el Hashem. He says, we are going to explain this small aleph in the way that we explained the pasuk, ve'al Moshe amar, and to Moshe say, alei el Hashem, go up to Hashem. But before we explain it based on that pasuk, let's get a little bit of insight into why other mifarshim explain the small aleph in Vayikra. So in the predominant explanation is that when Moshe was up on Har Sinai and Moshe was accepting the dictation from Hashem, Hashem would tell him what to write and he would write it down. And when they arrived at Parshas Vayikra, and it says, and Hashem said to Moshe, write down Vayikra el Moshe. Moshe said, can I write it as Vayikar? Which is the language that is used when Hashem calls out to Bilam. Moshe being the most humble person, Va'ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam. Moshe was more humble than all others. He didn't want to call attention to the fact that Hashem spoke to and called out to him specifically. Vayikra, that Hashem is specifically calling out to Moshe, seems like Moshe is some incredible guy, which we know that he is. Only proven by the fact that he is even having this conversation with Hashem. But Moshe didn't want to call that attention to himself. Rather, he wanted to write Vayikar, which is the language used when Hashem calls out to Bilam, Harasha, Bilam who tried to curse the Jewish people. Moshe thought that that was fine. The same word should be used across the board. Why should he be seen as any more important than Bilam? But Hashem says, no, you are more important than Bilam, and therefore it should say Vayikra. But as a compromise of sorts, the idea was that Moshe could put the Aleph in small. Does Hashem really compromise with human beings? No, Hashem is Hashem. But clearly, Hashem wanted to clue us in to that there was something more within this word Vayikra, because there was something for us to learn from Moshe's humility, and therefore allowed Moshe to put this Aleph in small so that we would be having this conversation here today, and that we would gain from the humility that Moshe was able to have, even though he was greater than all other human beings. So, back to our Kedushas Levi. So that is the general explanation of the small Aleph. But he says we are going to explain the small Aleph based on the way that we interpreted the Pasuk. Ve'al Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem. And to Moshe say, go up to Hashem. Ki kesha Adam oseh mitzvah. Zeh ha-mitzvah oseh roshem lemala. When a person does a mitzvah, this mitzvah makes a difference up above. This ignites within him the desire to always fulfill Ratzon Hashem through this mitzvah. So when one does a mitzvah, let's say one does chesed, that makes an impact up in heaven, and in turn impacts back on the person that they want to continue to do chesed to grow closer to Hashem. We've all experienced this. When you find a mitzvah that you really connect to, you want to continue to do that mitzvah to continue to grow closer to Hashem. That if it's something that you specifically tap into, that makes an impact on you. V'hinei Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom, ratzon shelo, haya la'asot v'la'alot tamid al Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, his constant desire was to do and to rise closer to Hashem, kimivar b'Zohar HaKadosh, as it explains in the Zohar, v'Moshe ala el ha'elokim, that when we read numerous times throughout the Torah that Moshe went up to God, whether it was going up to Har Sinai the first time or the second time, this is not just explaining a specific moment in time in which Moshe physically went up to meet God. Rather, this is describing a personality trait of Moshe, that he was Allah El Ha'elokim. He was someone who was constantly striving closer, constantly striving to grow closer and to rise up to Hashem. Vizehu ve'al Moshe Amar Alei El Ha'elokim. And this is why it says to Moshe, ve'al Moshe Amar, and to Moshe you should say, Alei El Ha'elokim, go up to Hashem. Zeh shehaya ritzono la'alot el Hashem, zeh amar lo alei el Hashem. It was cyclical because Moshe always wanted to go up to Hashem. He was then told, go up to Hashem. And because he was told to go up to Hashem, he then always wanted to rise up to Hashem. He was commanded to do so, and through doing so, he then always wanted to continue to grow closer to Hashem. Vizehu haremez be'alef ze'ira. And this is the hint through the small aleph. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom midato haya shehaya anav mikol hadam. Moshe Rabbeinu's primary midah was that he was anav mikol hadam. He was more humble than any other human being. Ulekach ha-aleph ze'ira lirmoz al midaso. And therefore, he is allowed the small aleph to allude to his midah. That this midah becomes a signifier of his relationship with Hashem. that in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was explained as an Allah El Ha'elokim, someone who goes up to Hashem, he is also identified as a Nav Mikol Adam. So therefore, when Hashem is calling out to him, everything within his Avodas Hashem is filtered through this lens of Anava. Anava is his personal key to connecting with Hashem. And therefore, when Hashem calls out to him, that takes a primary role in their conversation. So Vayikra El Hashem, Hashem is incorporating Moshe's midah, Moshe's way of connecting to him. And that is through being an anav, through being someone who is humble. That is how Moshe finds meaning in connecting to Hashem. So this first point of the Kedushas Levi, I think, sheds light on each and every one of our avodas paths in Avodas Hashem, that each of us have our own unique character traits. We have our own strengths and our own way that we connect, and specifically our own way that we connect to Hashem. And what we see here is that becomes a, once you do something and that is meaningful to you, that can then become part of your Avodas Hashem. So if you are someone who likes doing chesed, so you do chesed, Hashem will then relate to you in the way that you relate to him. The chesed will then become a primary component of your relationship with Hashem. You have the ability to take something that you do and make it a part of you. Make it something that signifies who you are and how you connect. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the fact that he was an Allah El Ha'elokim. He was someone who was constantly striving to connect to Hashem. He was, as we would say today, a growth-oriented person, someone who constantly was trying to rise higher. And also he was an Anav, that he connected to the Midah of humility and he embodied the Midah of humility. And therefore humility became part of his relationship with Hashem. So as we are entering into Sefer Vayikra, that is something that we can think about. What is our midah that we connect to? What is a mitzvah that we specifically find powerful in connecting? And how do we embrace that and use that as part of our Avodas Hashem? How do we make that something that identifies us, something that distinguishes us within our relationship with Hashem? So that is point number one. But after we talk about Vayikra Hashem al Moshe, what does Hashem call upon Moshe to tell him? And it is that he commands upon him all of the mitzvot of the Karbanot. And this is why Sefer Vayikra gets a bad rap. Because throughout Sefer Vayikra, we are going to go through all of the nitty-gritty details of each and every one of the sacrifices that are offered to Hashem in the Mishkan and in turn in the Beis HaMikdash. And they're not the most exciting, but I don't know where you collect the blood, where you sprinkle the blood, which animal you use, how much measure of flour, how much measure of oil. But the Kedushas Levi here, in his second point on this week's Parsha, gives insight not to any of the necessarily super specific details of the Karbanot yet, but more to the general idea of offering animal sacrifice, wine libations, meal measures. He's going to give general insight as to why we are serving Hashem in this way at all. So for that, we look in the second point. And it starts, I labeled it number two on the source sheet. It starts with Haklal Hu, or Haklal Ki, Haklal Ki. So Haklal Ki HaKarban B'dmut HaShefa SheHaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpia Michama Chaso HaGadol B'lo Ma'aseh HaTachtonim. He says, the rule is, or the general idea is, ki hakarban, that the animal sacrifice, bidmut hashefa shehakadosh baruch hu mashpia, signifies the shefa, the abundance, that hakadosh baruch hu rains down upon us, mechama chasto hagadol, through his divine kindness, below ma'asei tachtonim, without any impact of our action. There are things that Hashem gives us in this world that are simply because Hashem is kind, that are simply because Hashem cares for us. It's not based on our actions or anything that we have to do to earn or deserve it. Rather, it is in his tremendous divine kindness that he is mashpia on us. He pours onto us his divine kindness without any of our actions interfering. Lazeh HaKarbon Hu Chai. And that is the reason why animal sacrifice has to be a living animal. Ki Chai Hu Me HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because life comes from Hashem. We can do everything we want to create something. And unless Hashem infuses within it life, there is no life. Life is completely controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why do we give an animal sacrifice? Because animals are living. They are living, breathing beings. And they signify what Hashem gives us in this world, that Hashem gives us life. What is the opposite of this? V'hanisachim, but the libations, the wine anointments that you pour on the mizbeach, him mitzum tzamim, v'hu al yedei maaseh ha-tachtonim. The wine libations are different. They come from a plant, which signify the human deeds. So again, animals are alive. The life is totally and completely from Hashem. On the other hand, we have plants. Plants which grow grapes, which turn into the wine libations. And those are created from, again, from plants. And plants signify the actions of human beings. They signify the interaction between human initiative and divine kindness. Whereas animals are alive completely because Hashem wanted them to be. Hashem imparted them with life. But plants are different. Sha'adam tzarich la'asot bo izu pe'ula, that a human being has to do an action, lintoa ulizroa, to plant and to weed and to harvest. V'anisachim him morim al hashefa hanishpa mehabori baruchu mechamat ma'aseh ha'tachtonim. And the plants then signify the divine kindness and how it interacts with human initiative. Humans have to play a role here in planting. You have to sow the ground, you have to prepare the ground, you have to plant, you have to prune, you have to harvest. And then it is up to Hashem. We do all of those things, and Hashem decides whether your plant should grow or should not grow. Shisrael ru'uyim mechamat ma'aseyam hatovim shahabori baruch hu yashpi aleyam tovo. That this is a signifier of the interaction between human beings and Hashem, in which human beings do actions and they deserve through their actions, through their efforts, for the kindness of Hashem. They merit through what they have done for Hashem to in turn reward them and to make what they do successful. So again, there's the distinction between animal karbanot and wine libations. V'hine Yisrael b'midbar hayu b'v'china sh'HaKadosh Baruch Hu hishpia lahem mechamat chaso hagadol. When B'nai Yisrael were in the desert, they were in the first category. They did not have to put in any effort, and Hashem literally rained down upon them his tremendous giving kindness. U'l'kach haya hashefa hanishpa lahem b'dugmazo. The type of kindness that was given over to them in this model, dehainu haman v'habe'er, was the man that was the food that rained down from Shamayim, v'habe'er, and the well that emerged from a rock, she'in v'hem klal ma'ase adam, that human beings did not have to do anything to bring about these kindnesses. Aval, be'eretz Yisrael, haya hashefa hanishpa alayhem mechamat ma'ase ha'tachtonim k'nechtav l'mala. When they were going to arrive in Eretz Yisrael, there was going to be a new model that there was now going to need to be human initiative. Human beings were going to have to take action. The divine kindness would be that they would be able to reap the benefit of what they had planted and what they had grown. So therefore, the new model that they were going to enter into was a model in which they had to put forth the effort, and Hashem would then respond in kind and in reward with his divine kindness. V'zehu ha-remez b'pasuk. This is the hint in the pasuk when it says, Chitavo el ha'aretz moshvosicham, when you arrive in the land in which you will settle, va'asitem ola la Hashem. You should then give an offering to Hashem, v'chulei. V'taloi hanisachim ba'aretz. Because the wine libations were only brought once they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. L'rmoz al hanichtav l'mala shehanisachim morim al hashefa shenishpa al ha'aretz. Because the wine libations allude to the kindness that would rain down to them once they were in Eretz Yisrael. V'zehu shepiresh Rashi she'en omrim shira el al hayayin. And this is when Rashi explains that they only sang shira once the wine libations were being poured. Ki zeh hashefa hanishpa la'adam mechamat ma'aseh ha'tachtonim hu simcha la'adam. The Levium only began to sing their shira once Bnei Yisrael were in a state of bringing the wine libations. When were they in a state of bringing the wine libations? Once they entered into Eretz Yisrael. And what does he say is the reason behind all of this? Because human beings can only really feel the joy and the success and the true kindness that Hashem is giving them once they have put in their effort. When kindness is just being rained down upon you without you feeling like you contributed at all, that does not breed the same sort of simcha as if you worked hard for something and Hashem responds in kind and makes you successful. It can be compared to a spoiled child. That a child who just everything they need miraculously appears. They don't have to do anything for it. They sit at home and they are given every present they want, every treat they want, everything they can want is given to them without them even having to ask for it. That child can only feel a certain level of happiness from everything he is being given because he doesn't really appreciate it. He didn't have to put in any effort. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't even have the chance to want it before it was already given to him. In contrast, is the child who works hard, the child who earns the treats that they're given, the child who does what they are meant to do and their parent responds in kind with happiness and pride and perhaps also that toy that they really, really wanted. They feel the joy of success. They feel like their efforts were appreciated. And that is an entirely different level of happiness from someone who has not put in any effort from the outset. So what the Kedushas Levi is giving us insight into the Karbanos is that there were both elements here. Just as in the history of the Jewish people, there were both elements of our relationship with Hashem. There was the initial step of our relationship with Hashem in which Hashem just provided for us. He rained down upon us everything that we needed, even without us yet deserving it. But the Karbanot are not given alone. An animal is not brought without all of the surrounding elements. And the entire avoda in the Mishkan was not complete until the wine libations were part of the process. Because we don't remain in that state of connection to Hashem, that state in which Hashem is just giving and giving and giving to us, untethered to what we are doing on this world, on this earth. Disconnected from what we are doing in terms of connecting to Hashem. It is only once we add in the wine libations that the Karbanos are considered to be complete. That's when the Levium really felt the true Simcha and were able to sing the songs of the Mishkan and the songs of the Mikdash. Because when the Karban is combined with the wine libations that signify these two elements and these two ways of connecting to Hashem, that's when the Simcha is complete. That is when we have a fully rounded picture of our connection with Hashem. So that is point number two. Point number one is to find our Midah, our way that we connect to Hashem, and that we learn from the little Aleph. When we begin to learn about the Karbanot, the Kedushas Levi taught us the idea of the different types of Karbanot and what they signify in terms of our ability to connect to Hashem. Whether Hashem is simply raining down upon us kindness without any of our actions corresponding to that kindness, or whether we have to put in the initial effort and then Hashem responds in kind. But we discussed the fact that the second element, the element of which we have to perform what Hashem wants us to, and then Hashem will respond in kind with everything that we then deserve, and how that is the more complete way of connecting to Hashem. So now for point number three, if we go on to the third piece in the Kedushas Levi. The Pasuk says in Parak Hay Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'nefesh ki tachtav asa achad mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo ta'asena ve'ashim. If a person sins, this is talking about the asham offering. If a person sins and does one of the commandments of God that may not be done, and he is guilty. Okay. Ki hinei yadua yoter masha adam ovedet HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoter hu be'enei atzmo kelo nechshav neged gedulas habore yisbarach. As is known, the further a person advances in his service of God, the more he realizes his own insignificance before the greatness of God. I remember saying to one of my rebbeim in seminary, there's so much to learn. How are we ever going to learn the entire Torah? We were sitting in the base medrash. I was like, how are we going to learn all of these svarim? And he said that when you come into Shana Aleph, your first gap year in Israel, you think you're going to learn the entire Torah. He said, once you get to Shana Bet, your second year, you realize that maybe possibly you'll accomplish half of what you came here to accomplish. And he says so on and so forth. The more you steep yourself in Torah, the more you realize that Torah is unlimited, that there is an endless amount of Torah to learn, and that we only hope to accomplish even a little bit. So the same is true with mitzvos. The more mitzvos you do, the more you are meant to gain an awareness of how insignificant you are, that how little you can actually accomplish. Obviously, not to feel down about yourself, not to feel like you can't do anything. You should be empowered to do more. But the performance of mitzvos is meant to come along with the humility and the self-awareness that what you're doing is just a tiny drop in the bucket. It's significant. It's important. But in relation to everything that there is to be done, it seems so inconsequential. And the performance of mitzvot is meant to give you that humility. Aval kasha'adam osa mitzvah v'hu sover shehu ovedes Hashem, ze ha-mitzvah einu nechshav l'klum. But if a person performs a mitzvah and they allow this to make them feel as if they are doing everything that Hashem wants them to do, they feel like they are all that because they performed this mitzvah is not worth anything. If the mitzvah does not come along with the midos and the self-awareness that are meant to come along with them, that they are worth nothing in the eyes of Hashem. Because a good deed performed without the desired outcome in terms of how it is meant to make us think and feel is not worth nearly as much as it should be. V'zehu perish ha-pasuk, v'nefesh ki techta. Klomar ma'achit, when it talks about in this pasuk, v'nefesh ki techta, a person who sins, klomar ma'achit, what is the sin? V'asa achad mikol ha-mitzvos asher lo ta'asena v'ashim. This is the deeper meaning of the verse, if a person sins. And what is the sin? The sin is that he does one of the commandments of God that may not be done, and he is guilty. Klomar, shehamitzvah hazot ya'aseh lo kilo, v'hu sover she'oved Hashem kira'oy v'ashim. Observing this mitzvah should have made the person feel insignificant in his own estimation, but instead it makes him believe that he is serving God to the fullest extent. Therefore, the verse declares, and he is guilty. That the mitzvos are meant to make you a more well-rounded person in terms not only of your mitzvah observance, but also in terms of your midos and in terms of your connection to Hashem. And if you perform a mitzvah and it does not breed the necessary or the desired outcome, then you have not performed this mitzvah in the way that it was meant to be done. And therefore, he says, ve'ashem, then a person would be considered guilty. That if a person does a mitzvah and they feel like this has made them the best that they could be, they are now on top of the world, then this mitzvah was not actually performed in the way that it was meant to be formed. And he says, and it is equal to nothing. That it's as if you didn't do it. So just to recap these three ideas, the first idea is that we are meant to find our path in Avodas Hashem and incorporate it into our relationship with Hashem. Find the mitzvah or the mitzvah that we connect to and make that something that identifies us and makes us unique within our Avodas Hashem. The second point is that carbonos are made up of many different elements. One of the elements is animals, and they represent Hashem's pure Shefa without our interaction with him. But the wine libation, the element that completes the service in the Mikdash that allows the Levium to sing with true happiness, is the wine libation, which is produced not only from Hashem's Shefa, but also from human interaction, teaching us that life is not like life in the Midbar, in which Hashem poured down miracles on the Jewish people. Life is meant to be life in Eretz Yisrael in many ways, but specifically here in the sense that once we arrived in Eretz Yisrael, we had to be put in our human initiative, and then Hashem returns in kind with his kindness and his miracles. We're meant to recognize that that is exactly how mitzvos are meant to be. That's exactly how our relationship with Hashem is meant to be. We are meant to perform everything that we can do in this world and daven and hope that Hashem then returns in kind with his divine kindness. And lastly, on this idea of performing mitzvos and how they relate to us identifying with ourselves and in our relationship with Hashem, comes this idea that a person must focus in their observance of mitzvos on the impact that the mitzvah then has on them. If someone performs mitzvos and they allow it to make them feel like they are now better than others, or perhaps have fully accomplished in their avodas Hashem because of this one mitzvah that they have performed, then the mitzvah has not been done appropriately. A person, as they perform more and more mitzvot, is meant to realize how much more there is to do, how much ways they still have to go in order to be significant in the eyes of Hashem. So may we be able to internalize these three messages, find our personal way of connecting to Hashem, recognize that our actions can bring about Hashem's kindness, and recognize that the more we do, the more there is left to do. And by internalizing all three of these messages, may we be able to use all of them to help us grow closer to Hashem always.